Fathers, first of all, I want to thank you all for being here. And I think being a father starts with that. One of the greatest things I want you fathers to know, and you all know if you came to Father's Day message at Hillview Heights Church, I am not giving you men a break. Amen. Okay, because the deal is, man, I'm going to tell you, and I'm excited though, I'm excited today. I looked at Hillview over the years, and you know what? Some of you men, you're manning up. I see you here on a consistent basis. I want you to know something. Church is for real men. Church is for real men. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And the image here at Hillview is beginning to help a lot of young men and women understand that men go to church. Now, ladies, if you've hung around men, I hope that you've discovered this. Our society's very confused about this. It's causing a lot of relationships to be busted and broken. Men and women are distinctly different. And men are not to be girls, and girls are not to be men. God made men, and He made girls, and He made fathers, and He made mothers. And they have two distinct roles, both of them equally important. If you've been at Hillview very long, you understand that's where I stand. And I will stand there till hell freezes over, no matter what anybody else says. Because that's what God created. Now, daddies, here's where we've been. We got to step up and take our role. I'm going to give you three words today that are very important in fatherhood. One concept, three words, okay? The concept is this, be there. That's the role of the father. Be what? There. I know my daughter. I love my daughter. My daughter's incredibly intelligent, so that puts me at a loss right off the bat with her. And guess what else? She's a girl. I don't know how she thinks. I don't know what she does. She thinks too much. She feels stuff that I never feel. You ladies aware of that? Elizabeth and I will do this in our relationship. She looked at me and she said, well, don't you feel? I said, no, I don't feel. I think. You feel, I think. And I said, so help me understand through thinking what it feels like. Because I don't feel, I don't have that reaction. I have other reactions. And together, God blesses that. Hear that. God blesses that. You know what I found? Being there is important. I went to a ballet. I don't know anything about ballets. We had halftime at the ballet, or intermission, whatever you call it, a ballet. And Blake and I looked at each other. We were totally confused. I didn't. You know why I went? Because my daughter was being a butterfly for 10 seconds. She went across stage. And you know what I said when she got done? I said, you're the best butterfly that there could have ever been. You know why? That's what daddies do. Be there. Man, you don't have to like ballets. But you got to what? Be there. You know what messes me up worse than that? Spelling bees. I had to go to spelling bee. I'd have been out on the first word. And I looked at Clay, I said, you sure do know how to spell a lot of words. She said, yeah, no, Daddy, I've read one of your letters. You sure don't know. I said, aren't you glad God's given you that? And He's given you the ability to spell, and He's given me spell check. You see, it works out. Fathers, be what? Because that's what God is. He's always there. No matter what you're going through, He's there. Now, I want to tell you, some of you are like me. You've been incredibly blessed to have a great father. I had a great father. I still have a great father. He's still alive. My father was always there. My father grew up through truly tough times in his life. My father grew up where there was real poverty. No, the real stuff. And he had to fight his way through with his family to make it. There wasn't anybody back there that handed you anything out back in that era of time. A mountain man. So my father didn't get to play sports. He worked. But I played sports. And every sport I played, he didn't even understand what I was doing. I could look over and there'd be a cool little bald-headed man by the fence, not really knowing what I was supposed to do, but guess what he was? He's there. Fathers, be there. Now, if you got a father that wasn't there, let me help you. You got a heavenly father that'll always be there. So I want you to know, if you got a bum deal on a father, you got a choice to make. You can live a miserable life the rest of your life, blaming it all on your father. Or you can say, wait a minute, I've been saved by divine Jesus. That connects me to the Father who's art in heaven. He's going to redirect me to glorious and great things in spite of what I went through. But if you got a living Father, be there. My dad and I were so close. My dad was my best man at my wedding because he's my best man. My dad was my best man. I crack up. I go back and look at my wedding pictures. Well, I crack up just looking at our wedding pictures. We thought we were cool back then. It was the 80s. Can you imagine what those tuxes looked like? Ruffles. You know, y'all remember that? Some of y'all got married with ruffles on. And you call yourself a real man. You wore ruffles when you got married. You know, at least we've got over that. Well, you know what? And here's my dad. I kind of laughed when I got married. We were a bunch of big old just crazy guys, about seven of them, because Elizabeth had to have all his family stuff up here. About seven of them all stressed out over his church. And there's my dad right by my side. And I look down the road, and here's this rowdy bunch of guys that I hung out with my dad as my best man. My father is a Proverbs 4 father. And I want to challenge you to be a Proverbs 4 type father. Be there. Look what he says in Proverbs. Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. How many of you fathers have some good instructions? Now, I want you to know that my children are at a loss. I don't know about your children. My children are not perfect. And the reason they're not perfect is because they've been raised by two imperfect human beings. Do you all have the same problem at your all's house? In fact, perfect people I really don't like hanging out with. How many of y'all have ever hung out with perfect people? And these are the people in the life, they're really miserable. Here's some things you'll never hear them say. I'm sorry. They'll never say, I'm sorry. It's never their fault. Everybody else has always caused them to have a miserable life. And you know why? They forgot to listen to God's instructions. He's God, and we're becoming. He is and will always be, and we're what? Becoming. So really the task of fatherhood is helping your children become everything God has created them to what? To be. How many of you can have that prayer? I want my kids to be everything God wants them to be. Are they going to make mistakes? I don't know about you parents, but I made mistakes growing up. Didn't y'all make mistakes growing up? By the way, you parents who have perfect kids, I usually see them in therapy later. And they're really messed up because you tried to make them not human. He said, well, my child's been perfect through their adolescence. Yeah, wait till they're 40 and go through their midlife. God is the director of all life. How many of y'all believe that? And so, dads, I want to encourage you to say and be there in such a way that you can look at your sons and daughters and say, listen, my sons and daughters, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. First thing, word. I want to. This is a male sermon today, so we're only doing three words with one concept. We'll all get it. First word, gain understanding. Gain. How many of you daddies are about gaining? If you're a man, gaining ought to click in. If you're a football player and you play on the offensive side, what do you want to do? Gain what? Yards. If you don't, what happens? You lose. If you're a father, you ought to want your children to gain beyond what you were. I don't want my kids to be like me. How many of you parents want your children to be like you? Gross. I don't want to have mini me. I want to have that that's way beyond me. That means I've done my job. If it's beyond me. Now, my father set a super high standard. In fact, I know what he did. You know what he did? My father set a standard by the way he lived that it took God for me to get there. My father set a standard in my life. I know this is old school, but it works. In such a way that it took God for me to get there. And I'm not there yet, but I was able to say this about my father. If I am half the man that my father is, I'll live a full life. That's some pretty incredible fathering, isn't it? Now, here's the way you help your kids gain. I want to give you all a truth in life, and I hope you embrace it. Full life is not lived by what everybody else says. For those of you that are taking opinion polls about your life, you're miserable every day. And the reason you just got mad at me for saying that is because the truth has just slapped you upside your head. Fathers, all of you that are forsaking your children for the gain of a plaque, I want to tell you what's going to happen to your plaque. Even in the religious realm. You don't know how many pastors I've seen. I've given up some stuff. And I'll tell you what, I'm old enough now to be excited about my trade. I gave up little convention accolades and other little preachers at the preacher parties saying he's real cool, he's real nice, he's done a good job. And they give you these little plaques, you know, good job. Let me tell you what you do with those plaques. You box them up after you die. Well, you don't personally box them up, but somebody boxes them up. And they take them to a yard sale. And they sell them for 25 to 50 cents. And if you've forsaken your family to get that plaque, that's a little overpriced. It's a piece of wood with a piece of brass with an engraver where a few people said you did a good job. Now let me tell you who will really tell you if you did a good job. Your daughter. On the day of her wedding. And if you walk in on the day of her wedding and she goes, hey, it's good to see you. Haven't seen you in 20 years. You made an F, Daddy. It's the look in your son's eyes when they make it, when they do what they're supposed to do. It's the steadfastness of faithfulness, even when they mess up. That's what it means to be a father, to be there and want your children to gain. To gain understanding, to gain wisdom, to gain. Dale, I think we have school so people can gain, don't you? I mean, why in the world go through all this school, the expenditure, the money, if we're just going to stay dumb after 18 years? There's a process of what? Gaining, growth. How many of you fathers are going to gain your children? I want them to gain. The second word I want you to get out of this text, gain what? Under what? They need to understand things about God. They need to understand how to treat women. Daddy, your son will know how to treat women from you. Now, Dad, do you really want me to scare you? Your daughters will be attracted to a guy like you. You know how that scares me? I saw one come through a few months ago and I looked at him. You know how y'all young bucks are. Y'all come in like you the first one that's created this stuff. Let me help you how long that's been going on. Since the beginning of time. Since Cain smacked Abel. It's been going on. And men have been fronting up on each other. You know, you get these young bucks, they come through the house. Now guess what I do? I swell up and become an old bull. I look them down. I let them know. I may not hit you twice, but the one time I do is all it'll take. Because see, young buck be looking at you going, well, I can outrun you. I can outendure you. Yep. But it only takes one time, boy. That's the difference. One what? No, wisdom says, I'm going to welcome you if you're going to be a gain. How many of you fathers are going to live in such a way that you want your daughters to gain a husband that'll bless their life? That's the real deal. All joking aside. To gain understanding that these are the great things of life. So there's two things fathers need to do. Have an attitude of gain. I want my children to get better in whatever God's called them to do. Now, fathers, I want you to hear me. And you jock daddies, I want you to hear me. If your son is a brilliant musician, God made that. Amen. Don't make him a linebacker. Say, I got a son that can play the piano better than anybody. Guess what? He's going to make a lot more money and keep his knees. Amen. My father did an incredible job. One of his sons, me, crazy, wild, spontaneous, just what in the moment. He had another son, refined, organized. My brother, I want to show you the difference between my brother and I. Same set of parents. After he vacuumed his carpet, which that's an experience I never had at the house, he would unplug the vacuum cleaner, take the bristles and make sure there were no vacuum lines on the carpet. This is a very compulsive individual. He plays a pipe organ. He plays a pipe organ at genius levels. You know what my father said? Go be a genius pipe organist. He said, what about my brother? He's rolling around in dirt. He'll come in here dirty, and he'll have broken something on the truck, and he'll be costing me another $500. But those piano strings rarely break. Play. That's game. That's under what? Standing. I want you to understand that God wants you to be the best whoever you're supposed to be. In our job together, in worship and teaching and relationships and fellowship and giving and working it out together through positive moments and mistaken moments, God will reign and we'll find truth. Look what he says, my son, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only a child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will what? Live. Live. There's three things I think fathers ought to be about all the time. Three primary things. First concept, fathers, you need to what? The concept is, come on, fathers, the women are preaching your sermon. Come on, engage here, guys. Sounds just like the house. You ask the dad a question, mom answers. Y'all have that happen at your house? How many of y'all have this too? When I ask one of the children or one of the kids a question, mom answers for them. And I have to look and say, I don't want to hear from you. I'm asking them. But guess what she's been? I'm very privileged. I had a beautiful mother and my wife's a beautiful mother. Guess what she's doing? Defending those children. You don't get in the way of a mama. Mama will whip you. Now, daddy, sometimes they'll defend and sometimes they just watch it happen. But a mom, what will they do? They go crazy. Man, you mess with a mama bear, you're dead. Why? And mama's going to take care of their children. Now, when I was in my house, now watch, when I was at home, who to teach somebody, you got to what? Be there. Now, let me tell you something, young men. Young men, you need to be young men when you are. Come on, these are radical concepts today. Y'all ready? When you're young, you need to be what? Get all that out of you. Because when you get married and you have a child, guess where you need to be? There. Not necessarily home. There. Because there might be moving around. But you need to be what? So guess what you got? Listen, you men holding your seat. That means on Friday night, if she's cheering on a sideline, rah, rah, ree, you don't need to be fishing. Or water skiing. Or riding your Harley. You need to be where? And guess what you need to go, man, that's the best cheerleader on the whole squad right there. Which one? The one that's holding six of them up. That's my daughter. No matter what she's doing, she's what? The best. Fathers, that's your job. The best. The best. Your children need to hear from you. They are the what? Now, check how this happens. If everybody's the best, what eventually happens? There's a great vibration in the world. Guess what your Father in heaven says about you? You're the best. You're so good, I love you. And I want to show you these three principles in the grace of God. Gain, fathers, you want your children to gain. Gain what? Understand. You want to help them to understand the great things of life. I wish I'd have listened to my father. How many of y'all didn't listen to your father on some things? How many of you girls, as soon as that dude walked in, your father said, not. And what'd you do? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a good boy. He's the greatest boy. You know why we know that? Just like us guys. How many of you guys ever walked in? Man, I walked in one time, this lady, I was a girl at that time. I walked in my house, my sweet Southern Belle mama, who never was mad, was mad. I walked out of that family room, took her home, came back. This is all I got. You know what kind of girl it is. I said, what kind, mama? Female? She goes, you know what I'm talking about. Man, I can feel God coming out of that finger. You know, mom waves on you.
And I said, what do you mean?
That's not the kind.
What kind?
Guess what? I knew that. I just hated that my mama knew that. See what I'm saying? So I figured out what kind she was, not the kind you bring home to mama. Amen? Be careful! They know. Why do they know? They want you to gain in life, not be killed in life. They want you to understand the great things of life, not the casual things of life. And they want you to live. What did God say in the proverb? Keep my commandments and you will. How many times has God said that to Hillview since February? Ever Sunday. Keep my commandments and you will. Don't keep them and you will. Why are we surprised about that? It looks like to me that God's pretty straight up. It looks like that God didn't create a PhD Bible, but one that spoke pretty clearly. These are my commands. Live in them. These are the things that will kill you. Stay away from them. And if you get into them, my mercy is going to bring you out of them so you don't have to go back to them. Does that make sense? There's the prodigal son or daughter story. I'll reestablish you to live. So, Daddy's, happy Father's Day. I hope you'll practice those three concepts. First of all, look at your children. Go home this afternoon and look at them and say, you know what? I want you to gain in life. I don't care how old they are. If they're 90, that means you're 108. You tell them you want them to have a great life till they're 100. Whatever, okay? I want you to live. Daddy John, don't you want that boy to be everything God wants him to be? And then you have no idea what he's going to be. He might be 6'5", 310 pounds. And guess what? You'll still be able to whip him. It's the law of the dead. There's a dead law. And if you've been there, I mean, they respect you after a while. But you know what? Love your kids, Dad. That's what it means to be a father. Be there. Want them to gain. Have this prayer in your heart all the time. Jesus Christ, I want those children you gave me. Hear how I said that. The children you what? Gave me. I want them to be everything you made them to be. Number two, I want them to understand the great things in life. And number three, I want them to what?
Live. I don't know about you, but I want my kids to live. I don't know about you, but that's why I do this. This is the greatest life I've ever found in Jesus Christ. I'm about living. You can take all that religious stuff and just send it where it resides, in hell. That's just a hellish way to live. I never was so glad to read the Bible and see that the only people Jesus busted on were religious people. Y'all ever notice that? You know why? They didn't have any understanding and they thought they did. What they spoke caused pain and no gain. And you know what? They didn't keep the commandments. They pretended to keep the commandments and made everybody else feel bad. They were hypocritical. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus doesn't make us to be hypocrites, but he makes us to be real? So fathers, here's what I want you to know. You'll never be perfect. If you're going to try to be a perfect father, all you're going to be is neurotic. That's where that gets you. You're going to be imperfect. So guess what you got to say to your kids? I've had to say this to my kids more than once. I am sorry. I lost my temper. I am working on that. I have a bad temper. Some of you who know me, especially back in my younger days, you know that can erupt. I said, and this is not right, and this is not what God wants, and I apologize, and now I want to explain to you what I am doing and what I was trying to get across to you without having the energy of my temper with it. Guess what happened after the years? My temper got better because I started confessing that it could get out of control. Does that make sense? Because guess what I found? If you yell at your kids, it really doesn't get them better. It just makes you feel better for the moment. Like we're making progress. Now, when you're on the football field, red, it works. So don't think you're getting out of it there. But guess what it does? Sitting down and talking and say, what is it going to take for you to gain? What is it going to take for you to understand? And what does it take in this moment to live? See the difference? So I'm calling you daddies to meet Jesus today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life today, let me tell you what, Father. The greatest thing you can do is get real with your faith. I'm not talking about going to church. Lord have mercy. I mean, there's a lot of people going to hell going to church. Church attendance will not get you into heaven. Have I been clear on that? I'm going to get mad if any of y'all stand before Jesus and say, well, I went to church, let me in. And if he says,
Well, where'd you go? You say, Hillview. He said, well, you heard it straight up. You heard what you needed to do. Here's the command. You know what Jesus said? First of all, realize you've sinned. Now, it's weird. When you deal with God, He's weird. He said, when you realize you've messed up, you'll know I'm God. Because what's one of our greatest problems? Who do we think we are? God. How many of y'all ever thought you were God? Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else want to join her and fellow human beings? Yeah, we think we're God. We think we know better than Him. We think we got everybody else's life planned out. How many of you all have always been in somebody else's business? That's because you think you're God. The other person's whose business is that? God's. That's why God said, pray for them. Because you don't know better than I. Take that as a parenting tip. Pray for your what? And by the way, how many of y'all have ever said this? Oh, I just can't wait to get him out of the house. Then it'll all be over. Yeah, y'all know where I am. It's just begun. It's worse! At least when they're in a house, you kind of got a peripheral on them. When they get out of the house, guess what? You know why that's a difficult moment? Now guess who's totally in charge? God. God. Daddies, live in such a way that God will be in charge of your children. You know, are they going to do crazy stuff? Yeah. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to help them gain. He's going to help them understand so that they might live. What you need to do as a daddy, be there. Amen? Because Jesus is here. He's got this Father thing. He's always there. Jesus is here for us today. Guess what some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned, I've messed up, I'm sorry. That's called confession. I realize I can't go to heaven on my own. That's what confession is. I can't do it on my own. So when you feel the Spirit of God drawing you to God, guess what you need to do? You need to be receptive of that Spirit. Think about how cool that is. God has chosen to move in your life and say, come here. I want you to be a part of me. I don't know about y'all, but I kind of felt good when I got chosen. You know, we was playing kickball in the third grade, and they say, I want the dude with the bucket, Tupperware bowl haircut. That's me. I can't run. I'm on your team. You know, that's what God's saying at every invocation, every moment of altar. He's saying, you know what? Come on, I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my son. I want to forgive you. I want to make you new. I want you to gain. I want you to understand, and I want you to live. Doesn't that sound like God? And listen, I'm so sorry. Some of you all have been so messed up with God because all you've heard is a bunch of religious clatter. It breaks my heart. Nobody will listen to my idea. I had this idea a long time ago in the city that we take all the religious people, we build one huge church for them, and they just all go there every Sunday and stay out of the way of the rest of the people. People would understand God then. He loves you with mercy, not with rules. Come on, it's time to repent. God, I can't follow the rules, but I can follow you. God, I don't always do it right, but you always make it right in me. God, you are there even when I feel like nobody else is there. That's Jesus. That's real. That works. Maybe that's why we're scared of it. It really works. So today, some of you need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. I believe you died on the cross and risen from the grave. We're going to open the altar to that. Fathers, I want to invite you. I mean, if you're man enough, you've got enough hair on your chest, to walk on down here and say, you know what? This is my children. This is what God's given me. You don't have to pray a fancy prayer. This one will work. Dear God, bless them. You handle that? You ought to pray it every day. Dear God, bless them. Ladies, please let your father be a father. And don't make your father act like a mother. We're short on fathers today. Fathers. I'm very privileged in my life. I grew up with real men. Men that would not compromise. Men that did not listen to rhetoric. Just chatter. men that said, this is what God had called me to do, and they went and did it. And guess what? It was painful. It was tedious. It was hard. It was long hours. It was stressful. And most people today would pass out before they could get through what those people went through. I never heard them complain. I've never heard this come out of my family line. I've never heard this from my father on down. I'm stressed. I've never heard this word. I'm tired. That was after 16 hours. Guess what they knew? This is what it took to gain, to understand, and to what? Live. What if our nation was filled with people like that again? Some of you college students, this may blow you away. Back in the old days, when you didn't have enough money to go to school, guess what you did? You worked. You worked and went to school at the same time. Doesn't that fry y'all? You didn't go to school, play PlayStation, and sleep for 5 hours and then call that a rough life. You went to class. You went to a job. Guess why? You didn't know anything was wrong with that, because guess what? That's what everybody else did. You know the reason we didn't have as much drugs going on then? You didn't have time to do them. There's some value in gain and understanding and what? Living. So I invite you to this altar to come and live. I love you, man. Daddy, stand up. Let's stand together. Let's bless a generation of children. Children, I want y'all to be the greatest people that God can be and make you be and allow you to be. So as this altar is open, come on. If you need to receive Jesus, if you need to be baptized, if you need to just be prayed over, come on. This altar is open. Come on, Daddy. Don't stand there today. Show your family. I can move to the altar, and I want God to bless our family. Come on, man. In the name of Jesus, let's worship Him for just a moment at the altar. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving the folks at this church. Thank you for drawing people to your salvation, your grace, your mercy. God, thank you for your heart. Thank you for loving us. Come on. This altar's open. Come on, guys. It's open. Come on, guys. Amen. Amen.